Hey, thanks for joining us today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the Bible teaching ministry of Rick Warren. And today, we're continuing our series called The Habits of Happiness. In this series, Rick dives into the book of Philippians and helps you discover God's path to true and lasting happiness. And now let's jump right in for the final part of a message called Grow Healthy Relationships.
You might write this down. Positive praying is more effective than positive thinking. You know, people read all these books about positive thinking. Well, okay, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I'm sure I'd rather have you thinking positively than negatively. But all the positive thinking in the world isn't going to change your husband or your wife or your child or your friend or your situation. Positive thinking is not enough. Positive thinking can change you, but it can't change somebody else. But positive prayer can. So positive prayer is more powerful than positive thinking. So I want you to write this down. Here's my little happiness hint. The quickest way to change a bad relationship to a good one, the quickest way, start praying for them. Start praying for them. It'll change you. And it can change them. Start praying for them. You say, well, what do I pray? Well, I would encourage you to pray what Paul prayed. And in verses 9 to 11, we have what Paul prayed. Here's what he says. And this is my prayer. That your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best, and that you may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, and that you may be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. What does he say? Four things you can pray. Write these down. Four things. Pray, and I would say pray these for your kids. Pray these for your friends. Pray these for your boyfriend, your girlfriend. Pray these for your boss. Pray these for me. Anybody you care about. Pray with joy for the people in your life. And you pray these four things. First, pray they will grow in love. Pray that they will grow in love. Paul says, that your love will grow more and more. Number two, he says, pray that they will make wise choices. Pray that the people in your life, in your family, in your friends, in your neighbor, pray that they will make wise choices. Verse 9 and 10 says, that you will know and fully know and understand how to make the right choices. Third thing to pray for the people in your life. Pray they will live with integrity. Pray that they will live with integrity. Paul says, I pray that you may live pure and blameless lives until Christ returns. And the fourth thing to pray is pray that they will become like Jesus. Parents, there's your prayer agenda right there. Husbands, wives, friends, there's your prayer agenda right there. Pray that they will become like Christ. Verse 11, that you will be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Circle the word fruit. What fruit's he talking about there? Well, we call it the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is the character of Jesus. In Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says this, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness. The fruit of the Spirit is goodness and faithfulness. The fruit of the Spirit is gentleness and self-control. What is that? It's a perfect picture of Jesus. Now, these four things, you can pray them for me any day of the week. Pray that I will grow in love. Pray that I will make wise choices. Pray that I will live with integrity. Pray that I will become more and more like Jesus. You can pray these for yourself. You can pray these for your spouse. And you know what? You can know they will be answered. Why? Because they're in the Bible. This is not a prayer you go, if it's your will, God. This is God's will. It's in the Bible. So you know God wants to answer that prayer. So the first thing I do, I have to be grateful for the people in my life. And second, I have to pray. And actually pray joyfully. Not with complaining, not with criticism, like, oh God, why can't you get this man and mine in shape? That's not praying joyfully. That's praying whinily, crankily. No, pray joyfully. And here's what you pray. Number three, here's the third habit, Paul says. And it's in the next verse. I must expect the best from people in my life. I must expect the best. Now, these things are so simple for me to teach you, but they are so hard to turn into habits. We don't normally expect the best from the people around us. We expect the worst. We expect them to let us down because we have a track record. Now, he's saying, you want to make a habit of believing in people rather than criticizing them. Expect the best. Philippians 1 and verse 6 is the next verse. He says this, I am confident of this, that God, who began a good work in you, will carry it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Now, circle the word confident. I am confident of this, that God who began the good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I'm expecting the best from the people in my life. Now, Paul is a pro at bringing out the best in people. And I want to teach you how to do it right now. There are three things that you do to bring out the best in people. And Paul does all three of them in this verse. He says, here's how I bring out the best in people. Number one, just write this down, he believed in people. He believed in people. He says, I am confident. And he gave them confidence. Do you give the people in your life confidence or do you tear them down? Do you build them up or do you tear them down? Do you give the people in your life confidence? In the last series, I gave you an illustration about what a good parent does when a child stumbles. Do you remember I said, if a child is running a race and you're at the track watching them run a race at school, and all of a sudden they really mess up and they stumble and they fall flat on their face and they embarrass themselves and you're in the stand as a parent, what do? You don't get up and say, oh, I'm so embarrassed, I'm leaving. You know, how pathetic you are. A bad parent would do that. But what does a good parent do? A good parent stands up and yells even more. You can do this. Get up. I believe in you. I know you can do it. Come on. Get up. I know you can. This is just a minor thing. No, don't worry about it. Don't worry about anybody else. Just keep on running. That's what God does with you when you stumble. That's what God wants you to do with people in your life when they stumble. That's what it means to be like Jesus. Paul says, I believe in people. I give them confidence. I help them grow. I am confident that what God has started in your life, he's going to continue to do. You see, we all need people to believe in us because it's how we change. You can't change unless somebody believes in you and you believe in yourself. Acceptance always precedes transformation. That's why I always say, you know, don't tell it like it is. Tell it like it could be. Sometimes, you know, I train pastors in preaching. And sometimes pastors say, well, I just tell it like it is. I say, well, okay. But that doesn't change anybody. Tell it like it could be is preaching for faith. I could get up here and say, you know, you're all not doing a good job. And I could tell you all the areas you're not doing a good job in. And what would it do? Just make you defensive. It wouldn't change you one bit. And next week you go, oh, let's go back and have Rick whip us some more. Some people actually are spiritual masochists. Oh, pastor, that's such a great sermon. It made me feel so bad. I'm going, what? No, that's not it. Nobody changes by nagging. It doesn't happen in the pulpit or anywhere else. So don't tell it like it is. Tell it like it could be. If I help draw a picture, say, this is what you could become. This is what you could be. With God's power in your life, then you get excited. Paul says, I'm confident, I believe in you. The second thing he did is he gave people vision. And the vision was, you're gonna keep growing. God's not gonna, what God starts, he finishes. He's not gonna leave you halfway out there. He gave people vision. He painted a picture of the future. Now, why is that important? Because study after study after study shows that we tend to live up to the expectations of other people. When people expect the best of you, you tend to do better. When teachers expect the best of their students, they always perform better than teachers who don't expect the best from their students. That has been proven over and over again in studies. That we tend to become what we believe the most important people in our lives think about us. So Paul says, I expect the best from people. I believe in people. I give people vision. And the third thing, this is really important, you write this down from this verse, he was patient with people's progress. I am confident that what God's began in you, he's going to keep on and he's going to carry it to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. He was patient with people's progress. Now, why is that so important to your happiness? I'll tell you why. If you insist on perfection in people, you're going to be miserable the rest of your life. Because there's nobody perfect, especially you. And if you're always expecting perfection in people before you can enjoy them, then you're never going to be happy because nobody's perfect. Paul says, I am patient with people's progress. Now, let me give you a little happiness hint on this one. You write this one down. If you want to really be happy in your relationships, if you want to have happier relationships, healthier relationships, celebrate how far people have come rather than judging them for how much they still have to go. Celebrate people for how far they've come rather than judging how far they still have to go. You got to be patient with people's progress. When my kids were little, they would draw me pictures and they would bring it to me and they'd say, what do you think of this, Daddy? And I would say, that's perfect, Amy. That's perfect, Josh. That's perfect, Matthew. It looks great. And when I said that perfect, did I mean it was a Picasso? No, it was perfect for that stage in their life. God doesn't wait until you're mature for him to start loving you. So you shouldn't do that with others either. You got to love them warts and all. You got to be patient with their progress. Now, what is the key to patience? How do I celebrate how far people have come rather than judging how far they still have to go? The key to patience is love. And Paul says in the next verse, verse 7, it is right for me to feel this way. In other words, I expect the best from you. It's right for me to feel this way about you since I have you in my heart. Circle that phrase, in my heart. This is a real key to happiness, and it's a real key to healthy relationships. You got to have people in your heart. You know what I've discovered? If people aren't on my heart, they're on my nerves. And if I want to get them off my nerves, I got to get them on my heart. If I'm praying for somebody, they just don't bug me as much. They just don't bother me as much. If they're on my heart, they're not on my nerves. But if I'm not praying for them, I get perturbed by them pretty easily. He says, I have you in my heart. You see, so many of the relationship problems that you have over and over and over, is because we all tend to react with our head, not with our heart. And that's the wrong place to go in relationships. That's, you know, somebody comes to you, let's say, men, let me talk to the men for a minute. Your wife comes to you and says, honey, this really frightens me, or this really worries me, this thing really concerns me. And you react not with your heart, you react with your head and go, well, that's not logical, that's dumb, you shouldn't feel that way. Well, that was helpful. Did that really build a bridge? No. No, it didn't at all, because you're reacting with your head rather than with your heart. When people say, and you've had people say this to you before, you just don't understand. You just don't understand. You just don't understand. They're not really talking about understanding. What they're really saying is, you don't feel my pain. You don't feel what I'm feeling. Has nothing to do with understanding. It has everything to do with empathy. You're not sympathetic. You're not empathetic. You don't care. You're not feeling my feelings. And say, you don't understand. We try to logic it out and say, well, let me understand. No, it's not logic. It's feelings. And feelings are just feelings. They're not right or wrong. They're just feelings. And so when Paul says, I have you on my heart, loving from the heart begins with understanding. And it means you know why they tick, you know how they tick, and you don't judge them for ticking that way. You just listen, and you accept, and you listen, And you understand moods and you respond accordingly. And that leads us to the fourth big habit. And this one is the granddaddy of them all. And Paul says, this is the fourth secret. I must love people in my life like Jesus does. I must love people in my life like Jesus does. I must be grateful for the people in life. I must pray for the people in my life with joy. I must expect the best from the people in my life, and I must love people in my life like Jesus does. Now, again, I told you, it's easy for me to teach it. It's incredibly hard for you to do this because you're not Jesus. And we tend to be self-centered. We tend to look at our own needs and all of the things that have happened in our life. But I've got to love people like Jesus does. Verse 8, here's the fourth thing Paul says about relational habits. God is my witness that I tell the truth when I say that my deep love for you all comes from the heart of Christ Jesus himself. I love this verse so much because I identify with it. You see, Paul started the Philippian church. He was the first member. He was the first pastor. And so I identify with how he felt about this church as I do about you. I want you to know that I am grateful for you, just like Paul was. I want you to know that I pray for you with joy. I want you to know that I believe in you. I have confidence in you. And I want you to know that it is an honor to serve you. 1 John 3:16 says this. This is how we know what real love is. Christ gave his life for us. So then we ought to give our lives for who? For others. Now, what is that reference again? Look at it. What is it? It's 1 John 3:16. Does that remind you of any other verse? John 3:16. Same guy wrote both. You know what the problem with relationships is today? People who know John 3:16 ignore 1 John 3:16. We all know John 3:16. Most of you could quote it. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the way to salvation. It's the way to have past forgiven, purpose for living, home in heaven. God says, I sent my son. That's how much I love you. And we're all grateful for God's love for us, John 3:16. But we want to ignore 1 John 3:16. It says, and this is real love. God gave his life for us. He gave his son for us. And we must do the same thing. If we would do that, we would not have any relational problems because we wouldn't be thinking about ourselves. We'd be thinking about other people. Let's bow our heads. Which of these four habits do you need to work on? Who do you need to be more grateful for? Who in your life have you taken for granted? Who have you failed to appreciate? Who have you, because of their faults or flaws, you have not been grateful for them? That's the first habit of happiness. Be grateful for the people in my life. Number two, are you praying for the people in your life? And are you praying with joy? Or are you praying with complaining? God, fix that person. Are you praying with joy? I'm going to encourage you to make a prayer list and write down some names and pray the four things that Paul prayed, that people will grow in love, that they will make wise choices, that they'll live with integrity, that they'll become like Jesus. Let me ask you this. Are you patient with the progress of the people in your life? Or do you demand perfection? It's never good enough. So I said, if people have to be perfect for you to enjoy them, you're never going to enjoy them. And number four, who do you need to start loving from the heart rather than from the head? Now, in this series, we're going to talk about the habits of happiness. Desire will get you started, but the habits will keep you going. So I want you to first make a commitment to be a part of this series. And why don't you in your heart right now say, God, I really do want to be happy, and I want to learn the habits of happiness. And I commit to being a part and not missing any of this series, that I may learn the habits of happiness. If you've never invited Christ in your life, say, Jesus Christ, thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. I don't understand it all, but I want to get to know you and I want to learn to love you back. And then, dear God, I ask you to give me the power to be grateful for the people in my life. Help me to remember the best and forget the rest. And on those bad relationships, help me to start praying for them and pray with joy. Pray that they grow in love and that they live with integrity, that they become like Jesus. Dear God, I want you to help me develop the habit of expecting the best from the people in my life rather than criticizing the worst. Help me to believe in people. Help me to be confident and build confidence. Help me to be patient with people's progress. Help me to recognize how far people have come, not how far they still have to go. And dear God, help me to have love in my heart and to love people not from the head. Men, you guys who are married, say, God, help me to love my wife from my heart, not from my head. And help me to love people in my life like Jesus does, that I would be willing to lay down my life in sacrifice or in service. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you just prayed to receive Jesus, congratulations. We would love to send you some free materials to help you along on your spiritual journey. Just email rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Here's Rick to tell you how you can help support this ministry.
Jesus told his disciples that they should live their lives according to five specific purposes. He said, you've got to love God with all your heart, that's worship, and love your neighbor as yourself, that's ministry, that's called the Great Commandment. And then Jesus said, go make disciples, that's evangelism, baptize them into the family of God, that's fellowship, a sign of fellowship. And then he said, teach them to obey everything I've taught you, that's discipleship, and we call that the Great Commission. We believe at Daily Hope that a great commitment to the Great Commandment and the Great Commission will produce a great Christian, a great church, a great company, a great community. You know, I started Daily Hope so I could spread the good news about Jesus, not just across America, but all around the world. And we want people to know that God's Word is filled with hope and truth. And the power that we need to follow Him every day is available to every single one. You know as well as I do that the Word of God changes lives. It's alive, it's active, and it breathes new life and new love into all of our lives. So wherever you listen to this, whether you listen on the website, whether you listen on a radio station, or whether you listen through a podcast, you're a part of the Daily Hope family, and I need your help. We could not do this without your support. We're 100% listener-funded. Would you continue to pray for this broadcast, and would you continue to support us? And write to me. Let me hear from you. I absolutely love reading the stories that are sent to me. So write me, pray for me, and support this ministry. And God will bless it, and God will bless you, and we'll get to heaven, and we'll thank God for all the people going to be in heaven because you cared.
Hey, if you'd like to support Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, just go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com, or you can text the word HOPE to 70309. That's the word HOPE to 70309. And really, from the bottom of our hearts, we thank you so much for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people everywhere. Hey, be sure to join us next time when we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.